Quickly, let us be on our feet to honor the word of the Lord. It's evident today that the Lord came down. And if another Bible were to be written, it will be recorded what happened today. Hallelujah. Okay, very quickly, let us open to the book of Romans, chapter 5, starting from verse 1. And after them, we open the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, 16 down to 18. You see, why Brother Pastor Lumide was talking about Martin Luther today is because of him, Martin Luther. I took keen study of the book of Romans. In everything Martin Luther knew as a preacher or as a man, it was the book of Romans that gave him the propelling faith to do exploit. He called something there, the just shall live by faith. It was that singular statement he saw in the book of Romans that made him what he is today. It was that statement that harmonizes other things he've studied concerning the scriptures. So I love the book of Romans so much. Praise Master Jesus. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. It said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Quickly, take again the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 through 18. He said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let us pray. Bow your heads, let us pray. Our God and our King, creator of the heavens and the earth, Adi, your word rightly has admonished us to rejoice in hope. And your word say we should rejoice forevermore. And Paul say in everything we should give thanks unto you. Daddy, that we've been doing, that we try always to do, as we have gathered here also to appreciate you today being the last Sunday of this year. Adi God, a word of little exhortation, of encouragement I have for your people this great afternoon. Help us at the end. This word will move us into 2022. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Have your seat. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. As we look back from January up to this hour that we are, as I imagine, I am made to believe that we've had different experiences starting from January, February, March up to this hour. If I should call two or three people to give their experiences, we will see different perspectives and different testimonies. For some of us, the year has indeed been a good year, a pretentious year, a year that the people, you don't even want this year to end. A year that you are so happy, a year that is full of overwhelming excitement, a year that you planted in business, a year that you got married, a year that your prayers was actually answered. And to you, you don't want 2021 to end, because it's a year that you have received your blessing. It's a year you got married. It's a year you bought your new car. It's a year you packed into your house. That is 2021 for some people. But in another hand, there are also people that has been loathsome, repulsive. It has been bitter, unspeakable anger. In fact, they imagine as if 2020 had never come. In their hearts, they have pains. They have tears, regrets of 2021. And yet some other people has been filled with regrets. I wish I never took that action. I wish I never engaged in that business. I wish I never married to that man. I never married to that woman. I wish I never traveled overseas. I wish. And the list of wish continues. It continues until this day that we are in. Child of God, I have come to speak to this group of people by the encouragement of Apostle Paul. He said, rejoice always. I want to speak on what I have titled, rejoice in hope. Apostle Paul said, we should rejoice in hope. He said, in all things, he said, give thanks unto the Lord. He said, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You that it has been a year you don't want to end has been a blessing. Give thanks to God. You that it has been so disgusting, is filled with pains, tears. Even as I'm still speaking, there are still some still wondering, what has happened? Apostle Paul said, we should rejoice in hope, and in all these things, we should give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because the book of Romans has the answer to it. He said, because we know that all things work together for good of them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. For we know. You know that your present situation that has a beginning, the end has come today. So the believers in Christ, they know that which started a day also has an end. If you believe that, say amen. In the problem and predicament of Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. In the pain and agony of Job, in the things Job was passing through, Job was rejoicing in hope, because he says, I know is a knowledge that Job oftentimes has known about God. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. When you look at the book of Job chapter 2, when you look down from verse 6, the conversation of God that actually brought about the statement of Job's wife, he said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. Verse 7. He said, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Verse 8. He said, and he took him a pot sheet to scratch himself with, and he sat down among the arches. Verse 9. And then said his wife unto him, doth thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job not sin with his lip. Why? Because Job knoweth that his Redeemer liveth. He said, I will wait until my deliverance comes. I will wait until my deliverance comes. You see, many people before now, they have termed Job's wife as a wicked woman because of that statement. When you tell people, popular preachers, they say even his wife, say he should go and curse God and die. No, that statement you are seeing, there are things that transpired in the Bible before that statement was made. That statement that Job's wife made to Job, he made that statement out of pity. Follow me. That statement she made was made out of pity. Oftentimes, we have seen some relatives, some loved ones, suffering for years. Their body has deteriorated. Doctors have rejected them. They said there is nothing again we can do of this one. And you see that loved one out of pity. He said, ah, God, let him die and go and rest now. Hey, have anyone made that statement before? So if Job's wife is wicked, then you are wicked. If you call Job's wife wicked because of that statement, then you are wicked. That statement was made out of pity. This man don't suffer too much. Not to curse God now. Ah, you don't suffer. Then curse God, may you die now. We don't die. Do you know what happened? A morning Job woke up like normal mosquito that bites somebody. And when he scratched that very place, he told his wife, say, honey, it's like mosquito Job beat me this morning. And the wife helped him to scratch it. And you know, there are these bites, this boil that comes up. When you scratch them, it's very sweet. And before you know, before 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it has spread all over the body. I see the wife of Job scratch that very boy. The boy began to spread all over the body. It was spreading all over the body. And they are saying, what is happening? As they are stretching it, before they know, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, it's now boiled all over, that turned to sore, and Job started smelling. Job started smelling that no one could come close to Job. I am telling you, there is nothing you have passed through in 2021 that you don't have hope. Because Job had hope in his pains and in his predicaments. Child of God, I want you to have hope and declare like Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. In that pain that Job was passing through, in the book of Job chapter 19, let us see the book of Job chapter 19. Give me from verse. I want us to build in order to see the reason why Job's wife made the statement. Even as foolish as the statement was, it was not actually because she hated Job. It was because of what she seen as the physical reality of what the family was passing through. She said that statement out of pity. And many of us, we've made that statement. 10 years, this man has been in coma. No food. God, take his life now. At least make him go rest. That was the statement she made, though. Take his life now, make him go rest. But she made it foolishly, not knowing the power of healing. Not knowing the power of Yahweh. Let us see that Job chapter 19. Job 19, verse 13. Let's start from verse 13. He said, he had put my breath. This is Job speaking now. So I want us to see this verse 19. That verse 19 happened before the second part of chapter 2 that we are reading. He said, and he had put my breath far from me, and my acquaintance are very estranged from me. My skin's folk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Verse 15. They that dwell in my house and my maid, they count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sights. Verse 16. I called my servant, And he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Do you know what Job is saying there? Job is saying that he was smelling his the odor that was oozing out of Job was offensive, that the wife couldn't even come close to him. I want you to put yourself in the position of that woman. I want you to put yourself in the position of that woman. The man was smelling that before the wife could come to attend to him, she had to close her nose. The offense, the smell was so much. And her faith was not that strong like the faith of Job to know that there is still hope. And Job's servants, the maid, Job will call on them. They will do as if they didn't hear. And you know this type of boil, you need to continue scratching that boil. You need to continue. As you are scratching it, you are enjoying it. That was the position of Job. And Job said, he managed to stand up and he went, saw some people passing by, saw young boys that he used to know. He beckoned on them, please come and help me. He said, yea, verse 18, young children despised me. I arose, he stood up, he braced up himself as a man, and they spake against me. They called him smelly, smelly man. Verse 19. He said, all my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I love are turned against me. Verse 20. He said, my bone cleaveth to my skin, and my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Verse 21. He said, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, oh you my friends, for the hand of God had touched me. Job actually was asking for mercy. When they saw Job, they thought Job has contracted HIV. He said his skin has cleaved to his bone. That is to say, when you see Job, you are seeing his rib. You can count the rib of Job. His skin is already cleaved to his bone. And he said his teeth. He was using his teeth to scratch himself. It was upon this pain that verse 6 and 7 of chapter 2 was given birth. When no one was there again to help Job, no one was there to assist him, there was no one to scratch his pain, Job now summoned courage and Job went into the kitchen. It was in the kitchen that Job was, and he took the broken pot, the pot the wife uses to cook. Job took it, I believe he broke it, and he took some part of that pot and he began to use it to scratch himself. It was this moment that Job was scratching himself that the wife saw him. He said, child, this man don't suffer. I beg, curse God and die now. That was what happened to Job. But Job's faith was confident in the Lord. His faith was solid in the Lord, knowing that a day is going to come when the Lord will turn the captivity of Zion, when the Lord will turn the captivity of the people of the bride assembly, when the Lord will turn the captivity of your family, when the Lord will turn the captivity of your generation. That was the hope that Job had that made him rejoice in the Lord. He said, for I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't know what the world has presented you with. I don't know what you have gone through. I want you to rejoice in hope, because you've gotten experience, and this hope that you have will transcend every of your plans, and it will be easy because of what? Because there is an experience you have had, child of God. I have come to cause you to rejoice in the Lord. We saw
what transpired between Balaam and God. I want you to know that God is fighting your battles and preparing great things for you even when you don't know it. Because he has spoken good things concerning you. And Job chapter 14, verse 14. Let me see Job chapter 14, verse 14. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job is determined. He said, I'm going to wait no matter what. He said, but I will wait because I know faithful is he that promised. He that promised is faithful. I want you to wait because everything you have lost, the pains and the tears you've gone through in this year, child of God, rejoice in hope. There is hope of abundance of rain. There is hope of abundance of financial liberation. There is hope of abundant marriage galore, financial galore, spiritual brouhaha. The Lord has spoken to us. I have come to encourage you to rejoice in that hope. Continue with this ministry because we have this hope that the Lord has spoken great things concerning us. Child of God, the end part of the life of Job. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, I want to start from verse 10. How the story of a man that had hope and rejoiced in hope, how his story ended. Child of God, do not allow the circumstances, the pains of what you've gone through to stop you from seeing afar. I want you to know the Lord has placed your fear before your enemies. You have to know this reality. The same mark that the Lord placed on Cain as a mighty one, as a giant, was the same mark he placed on the children of Israel while they were coming from Egypt. That King Balak saw them. He saw the mark, the giant mark the Lord has placed on them, and they became afraid. They began to consult. I decree upon your life, your enemies will see this mark of greatness the Lord has placed in your life, and they will begin to fear before you come close, in the name of Jesus. Before that Job we read, I want to beg us, try to be specific in the type of prayers that you pray. Some people pray prayers because you feel you want to be humble. The pastor will say, ask God what you want. Ask God what you want. You will see a man that doesn't have house, no transport to even go back home. What you will be hearing, Father, bless me with wisdom. Papa, bless me with wisdom. Emmanuel, bless me with wisdom. Wisdom for what? He is praying a prayer because he saw that Solomon was given accolades because he asked God for wisdom. Let us hold it there. What do you have in hand that you need wisdom to manage? In the book of 1 Kings, Solomon said to the Lord, give me wisdom to handle your people, to govern your people. You don't have house. You don't have car. You don't have business. You are just speaking, God, give me wisdom. You will complete the statement, give me wisdom to make words. Give me wisdom on how to do business. Not give me wisdom. He will give you wisdom and you will be full of wisdom. I will show you the man in the Bible that was full of wisdom, but he was a poor man and nobody respected him. The son of Dangote, if you bring the son of Dangote and me, the son of Dangote will ask for wisdom to manage his father's wealth. He wouldn't pray for money. Money is there. The father has labored for him. Child of God, King David have labored for Solomon. He has already met wealth, generational wealth for Solomon. Solomon don't need again to pray for breakthrough, financial breakthrough. What Solomon needed was the wisdom to handle the wealth of his father. That was what he needed, and that was what he asked. You are asking for wisdom to do what? To manage the face me, I face you bedroom you are living. It will be an error for the son of Dangote to join me for to start praying for financial breakthrough. Which financial breakthrough again? It will be an error. He will pray for wisdom to handle, to manage his father's wealth. You want your neighbor to see you as a humble, a spiritual man. You miss it. You want them to see you as a spiritual man, as a spiritual woman. Father, give me wisdom. Papa, give me wisdom. Wisdom to do what? Solomon asked for wisdom to handle his father's empire. The empire was dead. His father had labored for him. Empire Barambo. Empire Barambo, Barambo. Where? And the guy needed the spirit to handle the product of his father. That was why he asked for wisdom. I need God to give me wisdom to make words. Wisdom to make words. Wisdom to preach his gospel. Not only wisdom, but be definite of what you need wisdom for. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, if you can help me from verse 15, the Bible talks of a man, an old man. He said now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom is a wisdom man, but very poor. What is the profit of the wisdom? I have wisdom, I don't have money. What is the prophet? He said, he by his wisdom delivered the city. He said, yet no man remembered that same poor man. If you go in the village, you will see men full of wisdom. If boys come back from abroad, they come and enjoy themselves, because those men with wisdom, they will give you parable. You will laugh, you will laugh, you will fall. After that, nobody will remember them again. They will come, they will say, Papa, take 1,000, take 3 to Mbo. They've forgotten about them. But that man is full of wisdom, and that wisdom is not productive. When their nation, for example, America want to invade Nigeria, and Nigeria has a very good man with wisdom. They say, let us go to that Baba. Whatever he tells us to do concerning this war, if we do it, the Lord will answer us. And they went to this old man, poor, full of wisdom. He said, look at what is happening. You know, it's okay, do A and B. When you do this, you will defeat America in the war. And the people gathered together, Nigeria gathered together, and they did what that wisdom man asked them to do. And they went to war, they defeated America. And Nigeria took over America. The Bible says, this old man now is now full of pride. He's supposed to be elevated to the position. The Bible says, when the man speaks again, nobody listened to him, because what they needed from him that time, they've gotten it, and they've left him because he is poor. Child of God, I refuse to be poor. I say, I refuse to be poor. The Bible says he's a man of wisdom, but he's a poor man. What is that wisdom for? So when you are praying for wisdom, say, God, the specific thing you need that wisdom for. Don't emulate Solomon. Solomon, his father has hustled for him. If his father hustled for him, he don't need to pray for any other thing. Child of God. And that was the pain Job was until the Lord remembered him. In the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 10, as I round off, Job 42, verse 10. He said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Job was in captivity. I am yet to know the years Job has been in this pain, but we know from what has transpired, it wasn't a 1 month problem, it wasn't a 2 months problem, it wasn't a 1 year problem. I don't think it's either a 2 years problem. Job was in this problem, and he said, I will wait until my change come. And today, here is the change of Job. And the Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Child of God, it's a year of double portion. He said the Lord gave Job twice of what he had before. I prophesy on you, you shall going to enjoy double of your labor in the name of Jesus. Every success that will come to you, it shall be double in the name of Jesus. Every breakthrough that will come to you, it shall be double in the name of Jesus. Every contract that will be approved, every business that your company will engage, I say it shall be double in the name of Jesus. Every engagement, spiritual engagement, financial engagement, material engagement, business engagement, I stand at the altar of the Most High. I lie not by the mandate of heaven. I am coming from the spiritual storehouse of the prophetic bulldozer. I begin right now to speak. I say it shall be double in the name of Jesus. I come with the Elijah anointing that breaks the yoke, anointing that runs faster than chariot, anointing that closes the mouth of the enemies of God. I say it shall be double in the name of Jesus. I stand upon the conclusion of the story of Job. The Bible says the end of Job, the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and the end part of Job, the Lord blessed him double. I stand at the altar of restoration. What have you lost? I decree you shall receive double in the name of Jesus. What the enemy has stolen against you, I decree you shall receive double in the name of Jesus. I decree upon your life, you will knock one door and double doors will be open for you in the name of Jesus. You will apply in one company and many companies will be calling you in the name of Jesus. I call on heaven and earth to stand as a witness to this decree. You Jupiter, that we want to stand against this decree, I say be condemned forever. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord.